the last word
with Life Pharmacy. Over 100 local pharmacies nationwide that are always here to help. Life Pharmacy. Live better together.
Welcome back. It is Will O'Callaghan in for Matt on the last word on sport today. Let's have a chat about the Club World Cup, which is taking place in the USA at the moment. It's kind of a precursor to the World Cup next year. Nowhere near the levels of interest, unless you want to stay up in the middle of the night to watch Lionel Messi coming onto the pitch. Inter Miami team, who probably shouldn't even be in this tournament. And if you want to see a 10-0 for Bayern Munich against part-timers from Auckland City, where some of their players couldn't even get the amount of annual leave that was required to be able to go to the USA. Miguel Delaney, chief football writer with the Independent's with. Miguel, how are you getting
on? Not too bad, thanks.
I don't mean to paint a bleak picture, but that is what we have faced in the first few days. A drab 0-0 draw in the first game where Messi was very much the central focus after being invited into the tournament effectively. And then we saw, you know, Bayern Munich not slow up. Michael Olise said he didn't care that they put 10 on them. He said he wouldn't have cared if they scored a few more.
Yeah, and so far, I mean, there hasn't been a single game where both teams have even scored. I must say, actually, I do have some conflicted feelings about this. And like, I think the idea of a Club World Cup, like, concept isn't actually that bad. And I think it should be remembered that the initial idea for this was to replace the old Confederations Cup, which is a bit of an absurd term in itself. And it was by Zvonimir Boban, like a legend of the game, someone who did have the best interest of football at heart. But the problem with what it's evolved into is that basically this, I mean, since Gianni Infantino became FIFA president in 2017, he'd obviously worked at UEFA before this, had seen the wealth of the club game. It's impossible not to link to the fact that the way FIFA works, if you're president, the more money you can share around the federations, the 211 around the world, the more likely they are to return votes. FIFA obviously needed money in 2017 as well, given all the crisis of 2015. Infantino, again, it's impossible not to surmise. He saw where the money in the game was and where the power was. And since 2017, really, he's almost been kind of singularly trying to drive this tournament through. You mentioned kind of the Inter Miami decision, but that's kind of reflective of a lot around this tournament, where it's almost like some of it's just been imposed on the game unilaterally without much consultation, figure out the consequences later. And that's actually resulted in, I mean, last year, FIFPro, the union that represents players around the world, actually has started a legal case against FIFA over this because they haven't been consulted in any kind of what they would say a meaningful way. And yeah, then it ends up at this. I mean, the thing about it is, the other side, say, I said it's like it's, I mean, the concept is at a core a good idea. There's also some merit in the idea of finally, kind of, suppose, coming up with some sort of mechanism to spread the immense wealth of football away from Western Europe. Because, I mean, really, you're talking about a situation where it's only about 15 European clubs who control, I think it's something like a third of the European football economy, and the European football economy is the biggest. So, I mean, it's some mechanism to spread that around is overdue. The only problem is, to actually make this work, they need the European clubs on board. They need huge prize money for that. So it's still the way the kind of prize money works is it's still going to be the European clubs that get the most, only actually increasing the gap. Meanwhile, the money that, say, the South American clubs get, or even like the clubs in Oceania or Africa or Asia, I mean, what we see there is almost kind of one of these Champions League situations where one team gets into the tournament, gets a lot of prize money, and then has this immense superiority over the domestic league. And it's like, it feels like with so much of the tournament, so little of it has actually been kind of properly thought out, which is why I think it's actually quite a good idea has resulted in this. And also, for all the talk, and FIFA would say it's about spreading the wealth, I think what we could actually see is it's going to expose just how many problems football has in that regard. I mean, you mentioned the 10-0 there. I think that there is a wider argument over whether an Oceania team should even be involved, because the joke has gone over the past 2 days. This Auckland aren't even the best team in Auckland, because there's a professional club there who actually play in Australia's A-League, and Australia's A-League is in the Asian Confederation, not the Oceania Confederation. And Oceania doesn't even get a direct spot in the actual World Cup. But yeah, and I even if you look at last night, which is actually quite a good game, I thought Palmeiras against Porto. Palmeiras is probably the best team in South America. They're one of Brazil's teams in it. Brazil have won the last six Libertadores, the South American version of the Champions League. And if they're looking, they drew nil all with Porto, who are one of the, at this moment in their history, one of the more moderate European teams involved. It's hard not to surmise this is going to end up with kind of European teams going through fairly easily again. Now, the one thing I would say with that is a lot of the European teams, by the time we get to the quarters, the semis, they could be exhausted. They're off the back of long seasons. But that's not the case with Paris Saint-Germain, of course, who have been able to rest players throughout the French domestic league. Summing up that, a good idea is actually just exposing a lot of issues in football.
Yeah, look, there's a big pot of money at the end of this, 100 million at the end of it. And I was surprised that some of the big clubs, even take Real Madrid paying an extra 10 million, which they didn't have to pay for, to get Trent Alexander-Arnold on board in time for the tournament. And this mini transfer window we had for these clubs before they headed over to America. Some of them are probably going to take this very seriously, despite the fact that many players may well have played 60 plus games this season already.
Well, the owners are all in. As to whether the players are all in, that's dependent on kind of, I suppose, their fitness levels. But I mean, that's why there's a bigger context to this as well. And like, I think that this is essentially one of the reasons why the tournament has taken place. Basically, everyone in football, and particularly that sort of ownership class, sees America as a burgeoning market. I mean, you only have to look at kind of the Premier League's numbers there, the Champions League's numbers. You know, everyone's kind of seen the clips of CBS, say the World Cup's going to be there next year. There's talk of how it's potentially the fifth most popular sport in America at the moment. You know, it's overtaken ice hockey. And other sports, bar NFL, are beginning to get concerned about the rise of soccer in America in that way. But in that context, basically all of the major clubs, they're looking at this, and what they see is first mover advantage in what is a land grab or football's new frontier. So hence, yes, the ownerships are very, very interested because they're seeing that they can suddenly make huge commercial play in this new market that hasn't been anywhere near fully exploited yet.
The ticket prices being slashed, was that because they were too expensive in the first place, or are American fans just not that interested in this?
I think it's a bit of both, to be fair. I mean, first of all, America, one of the subjects that's come up with this a lot is they operate dynamic pricing, something we would have seen with the Oasis concert. And then people wait. So you got into a situation where some people bought tickets early, the prices rose, and then by the time the actual opening game comes around, there's tickets on sale for, like, it's $20 or four complimentary tickets. Now, to be fair, it did have a healthy attendance. And this is one thing I would say about it as well. While Europe, because it has the Champions League here, because you've got the major leagues, the major clubs, this is just more football content. For the rest of the world, there is mass. Like, South America has always loved the whatever version of the Club World Cup you see, including the old one, which used to just be the Intercontinental Cup, which is the champions of both continents playing each other. Then it would involve into something else. There was huge interest there as well. And especially with the way club football has gone, where, I mean, we are talking about, I suppose, what, you know, a talent drain or a brain drain, where because Europe has more and more control of the commercial market and it generates more money, it's able to more quickly take South American talent, which has always been kind of one of the great talent producers of the game. And now, that's, of course, that's an issue that's spread across to all the other continents, particularly Africa. And I mean, you can almost see the extreme illustration of that with this very tournament, where River Plate, who would have been, you know, one of the great South American club, is the last non-Brazilian South American club to win the Libertadores. Well, already as the tournament starts, they're selling their 17-year-old wonder kid Mastuanto to Real Madrid. So in that context, suddenly the South American clubs see an opportunity, well, for a bit of pride, really, that they can put on. Hence, their fans are very interested. They've got big fan bases in America. I mean, in Japan as well. It's Urawa, I think, that are over there. There was a huge send-off for them. So as regards the interest, it depends what you're talking about. But there are obviously concerns where I think all the major clubs and the big South American clubs, they'll probably have healthy attendances, but there'll be a few games that will be a fair few empty terraces.
And just on Infantino, because again, as you said, he's very central to this and the promotion around it. He was claiming that the World Cup next year is going to be like 150 Super Bowls, and he's obviously cozied up quite a bit with the current regime there. Every time I see him, he's streaming what I show speed. He's being seen with celebrities. We saw him with Salt Bae at the last World Cup in Qatar. He strikes me as a guy who enjoys the, let's just say, the publicity that his current role gives him.
But the thing about this is, I mean, like, Infantino is a specific case himself. People who know him in UEFA said he was actually quite competent and talented general secretary when he worked under Michel Platini, the former UEFA president. But there was always an ego there. People probably saw that in Champions League draws. He did it before Giorgio Marchetti. But then I think there's another element to this, which is football actually affords an absurd degree of power to these roles of executive president. That's both in FIFA and UEFA, where, I mean, as I said, they're beyond presidents. They're executive presidents. It's almost like sometimes they act the kind of the ceremonial role of a president with the powers of a chief executive. Mm. And hence, in the case of FIFA, you've got you've got the president there flying around in a private jet, meeting the most important figures in the world, and almost kind of bestowing the power of the World Cup and now potentially the Club World Cup on the world. And for UEFA, it's the same, but with the Champions League and the European Championships. And I mean, that's, like, in that sort of context, it's probably it's going to skew you a bit, maybe. And hence, I mean, so one of the things. Because Infantino's whole kind of time in power, and he's been in the job since 2017 now, It felt like he reached a bit of a crisis last month where he was late for his own congress. And let's not, as people in football would say to me, that this role of FIFA president, despite what it's evolved into, despite what it is in the public eye, that is ultimately about serving the 211 football associations around the world. Whereas in that case in Paraguay, for his own congress, he was late to it. Because he was in Saudi Arabia with Donald Trump. UEFA put out a statement criticising for, as they put it, his personal political interests, which says a lot about the evolution of all this.
Yeah, I have a feeling they're not wrong in that as well. Miguel, thanks a million for joining us.
The Last Word with Life Pharmacy. Over 100 local pharmacies nationwide that are always here to help. Life Pharmacy. Live better together.